Bible, our second reading to Judges chapter 21, the last chapter in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 21, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, "There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin a wife." And the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices and wept sore, and said, "O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel?" And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, "Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord?" For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, "He shall surely be put to death." And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, "There is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives?" And they said, "What one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord?" And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, "Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man." And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives, which they had saved alive, of the women of Jabesh-Gilead. And yet so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, "How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin?" And they said, "There must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, you may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, 'Cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin.'" Then they said, "Behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebanah. Therefore, they commanded the children of Israel of Benjamin, saying, "Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we will say unto them, 'Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserved not to each man his wife in the war, for ye did not give unto them at this time that ye should be guilty.' And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught. And they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities, and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So you read the last verse of that chapter and you say, what? No duh, right? It's obvious that we're ruling by the seat of our pants here because there's no king in Israel. Now, that becomes especially important when we see what the 12 or the 11 tribes did when they gathered together. If you include the Levites that gathered with them, 12. The tribes, when they gathered together to punish the men of Gibeah for what they had done. We remember what happened in the last chapter, that there was a wholesale slaughter of the tribe of Benjamin because the tribe of Benjamin rose up and said, no, 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 we're going to protect these men. They're our homeboys. And so because they did that, then we see that there were 600 men that escaped to Rock Rimmon. And those 600 are holed up in Rock Rimmon, and it's just 600 of those fighting men. And it, from what it appears, it looks like the rest of the nation was, if not absolutely slaughtered, certainly very close to that. So that there were no wives for these men left out of Benjamin. All the other tribes had risen up, and they thought to do the part of a magistrate. They thought to do the part of a king. They thought, okay, we'll rise up and do judgment, seeing that there's no king. But what did they do instead? They ended up being vengeful and rapacious in such a way that Benjamin is now decimated. You see, a ruler that rules and that rules rightly, rules in the fear of God, is going to have a larger purview than simply vengeance. He's going to take a look at the entirety of the nation. How shall we punish and yet do all Israel good here? And so he's going to be measured in his judgments because he has more than simply that which is guilty to care for. He has all of the rest of the people of his land to care for as well. And so rulers, if they rule rightly, if they rule in a godly fashion, they do what they do with an eye to or with the purview over the entirety of the nation and what righteousness entails for the entirety of the nation, which is obviously what didn't happen when the 12 or 11 tribes came together as an ad hoc assembly in vengeance and rapaciousness to take care of what happened in Gibeah. And so we have this overboard judgment. And so that the judgment has gone so overboard, now we notice in chapter 21, the congregation of Israel comes, offers offerings to the Lord, lifts up their voices in weeping to the Lord. Oh no, we've got a tribe destroyed out of Israel. How did this happen? Well, we know how it happened. It happened because they had lost their way in the judgment. There was no king. Every man doing what was right in his own eyes. They got their blood up and hot. They were warriors. Some of you maybe have read Moby Dick. And there's a point at which Starbuck calls upon the people and he says, come on back. We're not chasing this white whale anymore. Ahab's gone down to the deeps. We're not chasing this white whale anymore. And the men of the other short boats, they say, you can't stop us now. We be whaling men and our blood is up. Well, that's what happens here. They lose all reason. They go far overboard. The punishment that takes place goes far beyond the men of Gibeah into the entire tribe of Benjamin that had risen up in error to defend the men of Gibeah. And so there's, again, sin on every side here. No king in Israel, no covenant enforcer to act with severity and restraint, in wrath to remember mercy. And so none of that is present here. And so when they're all done with their justice work, they recognize it hasn't been very just at all. And so now, they got to fix it. And can I say that sometimes the cure is worse than the disease? And so, that there is no justice in what they have done is followed by Now there's no justice in what we will do. And so, the men of Jabesh-Gilead, you mean they didn't come up? Okay, well, they will fall under our sword as well, except for 400 virgins, and we'll take them, and we'll provide Benjamin wives. Because those men, they weren't there when we made the oath. They stayed home. And so we made the oath, they didn't. And so we've got our loophole, and so we'll fix it with women stealing. Is that just? Well, obviously it's not just. So they get that done. They go down that road. Oh no, that's not enough wives for the 600 men that are holed up in Rock Rimmon. We need another couple hundred at least. Right? And it doesn't say in the passage, but I think the implication is clear that if it's more than 200 and some of the guys take more than one wife, we'll turn a blind eye to that. Certainly there's nothing in the passage to prevent that from taking place. So what are we going to do? I know, here's what we'll do. We won't give them to you, but we'll let you take them. We just won't defend them. We'll just draw back from our fatherly and elder brotherly duty, and we'll leave our women exposed so that you can go take them instead, because it's more important that a tribe not be snuffed out in Israel. And so that's what they do. That's the plan that they devise. And so women stealing over here is further complicated by women stealing over here. And so the Benjamites get all of the wives that they need. And then it says, in almost great irony, if you just listen to it, it says, and so their work done, all the tribes went back to their inheritance. Okay, we've fixed it now. We can go back to our own business. Right? My work is done here. In that day, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the comment of the prophet upon the men of Israel saying, we're all done now, we can go home. Yeah, you can go home all right. It's about time you stopped fixing things. It's about time that you stopped thinking that you could arrogate to yourselves as a rabble mob the restraint an order of a righteous king ruling over a nation and having that nation's good in mind, punishing the evildoers and protecting those who need protection. So there were many, many things that failed in chapters 20 and 21. And we see the failures then placed right in the lap of the lack of a covenant enforcer, a righteous king, to rule in righteousness. Now, what is so very hopeful about the end of Judges is that it's followed by Ruth. And in Ruth, we're going to introduce the man who will come and who will rule in righteousness in David. Not without his problems, but especially as a type of the one king that will come and rule in righteousness. Thus ends the reading then of Judges.